looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Playing is a series, you know. It's a three-game series. We play the Yankees. We understand that they play in the division, and it's the same goal, to win the series. The same goal we had for the first three series, against the Rays and Marlins, and then against the Rays.
So that's Red Sox manager Alex Cora over at Fenway Park just a short time ago. He was asked about the importance of this series, this three-game series with the New York Yankees here that starts tonight at Fenway Park. And the answer speaks for itself. Of course, it's not just another series. Same thing as it would be against anyone else. And so there you have it. Red Sox and Yankees start tonight. Do you believe him, Jim Murray? Do you believe in that it's just another series? Jimmy Stewart, do you believe him?
No. I don't know why he's paying lip service to this by just downplaying it right now. This is it's the Yankees and Red Sox. There's legitimate buzz behind this rivalry again for the first time in ages.
Jimmy?
There are only six good teams in the American League, and the Yankees are one of them. This series matters. I know it's April. This series matters. This is the first true test of the season for the Boston Red Sox.
Okay, so by the way, and I think I already said this, Jimmy, but if I didn't, please open up the phone, 617-779-0985.
Oh, they're filing in mass.
Okay, so, I didn't expect Cora to come out and hype this series. Okay, I didn't expect that. I expected him to say exactly what he said, like, hey, guys, we've played nine games. We've got 153 to go. We're going to play these guys 19 times, 18 times, whatever the hell it is, during the regular season. We're going to play the Yankees a ton. Okay? So I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. So this would have been my follow-up. Well, then why did you change your pitching rotation? Why did you pitch Eduardo Rodriguez on Sunday when you could have pitched Chris Sale there? And then David Price could have opened this series, or you could have dropped Rodriguez into the middle of the Yankee series. Like, there were a number of ways to do your pitching so that it didn't fall Sale, Price, Porcello. And the Red Sox chose this path probably for more than one reason. One of them is that there was an off day today, and they give Sale and everybody an extra day of rest. And as we know, they're being very careful and approaching it from the long term with their starting pitching. I get all of that. Makes perfect sense. I understand it. But they could have pitched Sale on Sunday. They could have waited to put Rodriguez into the rotation at another point. They could have done it any one a number of ways. And they didn't. They chose it this way because the Yankees are in town. And they know that ultimately they have to beat the Yankees head-to-head if they're going to win the division. Last year they went 8-11 against New York. And frankly, I don't care who won the division. The Yankees were better than the Red Sox last year. They beat them head-to-head, and then they got into the postseason, and the Yankees went a hell of a lot farther. In fact, the Red Sox won one postseason game. The Yankees gave the Astros a hell of a lot better series than the Red Sox did. So let's not delude ourselves into thinking anything but. The Yankees were the better team last year. So now the Yankees are here this year. They're playing poorly. The Red Sox are playing great, 8-1. And with or without Xander Bogaerts, I look at this series with the Yankees and I feel the Red Sox to me have more to prove. Now you can say, and maybe this is my way of couching it, but you can say that the Yankees have more pressure on them this season than the Red Sox do. And there's probably a lot of truth in that. The Yankees reached Game 7 of the LCS last year. The Yankees went out and got Giancarlo Stanton. The Yankees are loaded. The Yankees are absolutely loaded in the middle of that batting order. And for them, they're talking World Series or bust. The Red Sox, can they win a round? Can we find that out? So you want to tell me that there's more pressure on the Yankees this year? Fine. But this series, this week, right now, with the way things are going, you're telling me if the Yankees lose 2 out of 3, that it's a bigger surprise than if they win 2 out of 3? Because I think the Red Sox have more to prove in this series than the Yankees do. I do. They've got Sale going, and Sale, by the way, has not beaten the Yankees as a member of the Red Sox. Started against them 5 times last year, The team went 1-4. Sale went 0-3. The Red Sox last year, in their 19 games against New York, scored 59 runs. A little over 3 runs a game. Not good enough. The Yankees shut him down last year. And so the Red Sox went out and got J.D. Martinez. This, again, was all part and parcel to what happened against good competition. The Red Sox recognized they didn't have a big bat in their lineup. They got J.D. Martinez to beat the Yankees and the Houstons of the world. The Astros and the Yankees. That's why J.D. Martinez is here. They changed managers because they couldn't beat the good teams. John Farrell wasn't getting enough out of the young guys. So they brought in Alex Cora with the idea of beating the Yankees. The whole thing is about beating the Yankees and the Astros and whoever else got in their path over the last couple of years. Add the Cleveland Indians to the list. That is the whole idea. So tonight we get our first look at it, and the series doesn't mean anything? Come on. You know it does. You know you're going to be watching for the same reasons I'm watching. You want to see how the new Red Sox, the new look Red Sox, stack up against a team that they really had difficulty against last year. And for that matter, anyone else that's really good. I've said this a million times, and I'll say it all year long until we see it. We know they're a good team. We need to find out if they're great. We need to find out if they can be great. And the only way to do that is to face the iron of the league, whether it's New York, Houston, Cleveland, or maybe even the Angels now, and to beat them in the regular season and in the postseason. Both. Because I think they're going to go hand in hand. I don't think you can get your ass kicked by a team during the regular season and then all of a sudden beat them in the playoffs. I just don't think it's going to work that way. So we get a lot to get to tonight. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls right away. And Lance, who is in Nashua, will kick us off. What do you got, Lance?
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I'm sort of torn in between whether or not I want to get overexcited about tonight or keep the mentality. A lot of people are saying that it's still April 10th, but in all honesty, it's hard to fight the buzz between all the storylines with the Aces going tonight, the shiny new toys and Stanton and Martinez, my personal favorite, the new managers. It's going to be exciting, and I'm with you. I think, although I love the way you're couching it, saying don't get overexcited, everybody, blah, blah, blah. I'm with you.
No, Lance, I'm not couching at all. I'm not telling you not to get overexcited. I'm telling you that you're going head-to-head now with the team that you're going to be fighting for the division. So let's see what it looks like. I'm saying the exact opposite. I'm not saying to turn this into the World Series, but don't tell me this means nothing. Don't tell me this is just another series like it is against Tampa Bay or the Marlins. I mean, that's ridiculous. Now, again, I don't expect Cora to say that. I'm not criticizing Cora for saying it. But if he really believed it, he would have pitched Chris Sale on Sunday against Tampa Bay. He wouldn't have dropped Eduardo Rodriguez into the rotation against the Rays. He would have pitched Sale on his regular turn, and he'd have put Eduardo Rodriguez into this series against the Yankees. But he didn't, because he wants his best going against New York. And you know what? I would, too. I'd have done it this way, too. The next time they face the Yankees, if he can configure his rotation to get Sale in there against New York, and then Price and Porcello, fine. I'm in. Jeff's in Derry. Jeff, what do you got?
Well, Tony, I want to talk about Devin Marrero. All right? Hear my points. I think Brock Holt is a move for the Pink Hats, and Devin Marrero is, in my opinion, better defensively. He can play almost the positions, maybe not all of them that Brock Holt can play, but he can fill it. He would be a much better shortstop at this point. That's just my opinion.
Jeff, listen, with regard to Marrero and Brock Holt, it's not even close defensively. It's not even close. Holt's not a good defensive player. Can we stop with that? So Holt is going to play shortstop tonight. Xander Bogaerts is on the disabled list, and he's going to be out, it feels, a minimum of a couple of weeks. Although, Murray, you said earlier that Bogaerts is already out of that walking boot?
Yeah, correct. This is from Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. Bogaerts out of the walking boot, said there is some pain, but it decreased a lot in the last few days. X-ray didn't pick up the crack. They took an MRA. But, yeah, out of the boot, and the pain isn't what it was yesterday.
Okay, so look, I would tell you that's Sunday. A good sign that they're already, you know, that the thing is, I'm sure the swelling has gone down. He's already out of the boot. That's a good sign. So, you know, is this minor? Is it major? I'll believe it when he's back in the lineup. In the interim, you're going to get musical chairs at shortstop, so get ready for that. It's going to be Holt. It's going to be Lynn. It might even be Eduardo Nunez. Cora said he would play all three of those guys at that position. No matter who it is, they're going to be worse than they would have been if Xander Bogaerts were out there, and they're going to be worse defensively than they would have been if Devin Marrero were out there. Although, I am interested in seeing Lynn play the position. Okay, I'm interested in seeing Lynn. We saw him at second base last year. I don't remember if he played short. He probably did. I just wasn't paying attention to it, but we'll find out. Squeeze in another call here. Jim's in Lakeville. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, listen, 28, the Sox are an interesting team. But I was hoping that, you know, new management would be like Cassie for the Bees. But everybody's excited. He says it how it is, and that's what it is. But that's not happening. And the team has a little bit more spunk. They're exciting to watch. I'll watch tonight because Sale, I'm not going to spend 3-4 hours watching a game. But they gotta pick up the pace and keep it exciting. Keep the character going.
Look,
you know?
Yeah, Jim, they had good wins last week. Okay, so again, the spirit is important. Sort of the vibe of the team, I think, is important. I don't know any other word to use other than that. The vibe. Last year, the vibe around the team wasn't good. This year, so far, feels good. Some of that is Cora. Yes, he can help create the culture in there, so I'll give him some of the credit for that. Some of it is the 8-1. So let's not go too far with what it is here in the early part of the year. They played garbage teams, and they really haven't encountered any real adversity yet. So we'll find out more about them when they do encounter some adversity. We'll learn more about them when they encounter some real opposition, which they should do over the next 3 days. And if the Yankees play like garbage, like they have in the early part of the year, that part's on the Yankees. So to me, the season, the real season for the Red Sox starts now. The 8-1 counts, absolutely, and good for them for beating up on the Sisters of the Poor for the first week and a half. But now they're going to go up against real competition. And, oh, by the way, the Yankees set up their rotation for this series, too. Severino, Tanaka in the first two. I think Sonny Gray is going in the third one.
They announced that just about an hour ago.
They did formally announce it? Okay, they hadn't formally announced it yet, so there you go. So they're throwing their three best guys, too. Okay, that should not surprise you. And over the last year, I think that these teams made it clear that they have an eye out for the other one. Whether they're blowing the whistle on Apple watches in the dugout, cameras at Yankee Stadium, or whether CeCe Sabathia is bitching about the fact that Eduardo Nunez is trying to bunt for a hit. Believe me, they all know these games mean a little bit more whether they count the same in the standings or not. Okay, they know who they're playing. Both teams do. We got a lot to get to in this program. We're going to talk to John Harper of the New York Daily News, get his assessment on what's going on with the Yankees, and we'll get to Giancarlo Stanton and his problems and whether the Red Sox really wanted him. We'll do that next.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Three home runs, seven ribbies for Stanton so far. And the 0-2. Swing and a miss. Stanton down on strikes. And that is no longer a smattering of boos. The crowd boos him lustily after his fourth strikeout of the day.
Giancarlo Stanton ends up going to the Yankees. Had a rough going of it on that first homestand. 3-for-28, 16 strikeouts for Stanton, including a one there that you heard in the Baltimore game on Sunday. Stanton has had two games already where he struck out five times. An 0-for with five strikeouts. First guy in the live ball era to pull that off. I mean, that's 100 years of baseball we're talking about there. 100 years of baseball. That's a unique feat. So, there's one particular caller who calls the station all the time. I think it's Tony from Stoneham. I might be getting that wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's from Stoneham, and I think it's Tony, who loves to tell me that there was no way that Jeter was going to trade Stanton to the Red Sox, which I personally think is a load of crap. And on the Athletic.com, the Athletic today, which now has a Boston division or branch, Jen McCaffrey and who's the guy that used to be at the
Chad Herald? Jennings?
Chad Jennings. The two of them interviewed Dave Dombrowski. And so Jen McCaffrey actually asked Dombrowski, was there any truth to the rumors that Marlins part owner Derek Jeter tried to keep Stanton away from Boston? Dombrowski's answer, I did not hear that from the Marlins people, but I heard the rumors out there about it. I don't really think there was anything to it myself. I think they would have traded him to wherever they thought was the best spot prospect-wise, dollar-wise for them. And I don't think that would have excluded us if we were not on the no-trade list, meaning Stanton's no-trade list, and if we would have made a deal they were comfortable making. Okay? So they, you have it from the horse's mouth. The president of the team saying, no, Jeter would have traded him to us if we willing to give him what they wanted, but we didn't give him what they wanted. So they ended up with J.D. Martinez, which might prove to be the right choice. I like Stanton. If you ask me right now, Stanton or J.D. Martinez, take the money out of it, just the player, who would you rather have, Stanton or J.D. Martinez? I'm picking Stanton. I think a lot of you would pick Stanton.
I know I would. 10 games, the way he's played in these first 10 games for the Yankees isn't going to determine how he's going to play for the rest of the season. I mean, it's going to be an adjustment period, and those five strikeout games are ugly. But again, it's 10 games. Like, I don't understand why he's getting booed so mercilessly and Yankee fans are freaking out this early.
I mean, he's younger than Martinez and he's better than Martinez. So if you wouldn't pick Giancarlo Stanton over J.D. Martinez, again, leaving the contracts out of it, and I'm not telling you that...
No, just the player. Just
player for player. Would you trade J.D. Martinez for Giancarlo Stanton? If your answer is no, then I seriously question whether you're being honest or I question your baseball acumen. So, because to me, I think Stanton is clearly the superior player. I don't even think it's all that close. Now, you add money into it, sure, it becomes a discussion. But I would rather have Stanton. Sean is in Dorchester, wants to talk about the Yankees pitching staff. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
The Yankees are obviously still the team to beat in the AL East, with that potentially historic offense they have. And I still think they'll figure it out. However, I get the sense that their pitching staff might end up being a problem. I know that Severino was great last year and that Gray was really good after he was traded, but it's still relatively unproven when you consider Sabathia's age and if he'll continue to play well. And if you look at the Red Sox staff and if everything, you know, turns out, you have two potentially Cy Young caliber pitchers who've looked very good so far. And I know the Yankees could end up making a trade, but it just seems like the Yankees might be one regression or one injury away from really struggling with their pitching.
Sean, the Red Sox have superior starting pitching. I don't think there's any doubt. They do. The Red Sox have superior starting pitching. They did last year, and it got them nowhere.
I guess that's true.
Okay, so look, I'm not going to argue with you on that point, although the Yankees starting pitching right now has been really the bright spot of the team. Jordan Montgomery had a rough go of it against Baltimore in the finale on Sunday, but the Yankees' rotation is still, I think, in the top five in the majors in ERA. Okay, or if not the majors, and top two or three in the American League. I looked it up yesterday. I just don't remember it off the top of my head, but I know they're high. As are the Red Sox. The Red Sox are number one. Okay, so the Red Sox have superior starting pitching. And I would also tell you that the Yankees' defense here in the early part of the year has been wretched. Wretched. And that is something to keep an eye on. I'm going to get back to Stanton here, too, in a minute. But first, Andrew in Burlington wants to talk about Benintendi. Go.
Hey, Tony. So I'm a bit aggravated because, and I want to sing your praises for a second, because your view on Nava and Holt is exactly, and I go back to, I thought that Trot Nixon was a bit overrated in this town too, is that I have a feeling that Benintendi is what he is. I think he's a 20 home run, 85 RBI, 280, 290, and highly replaceable. So what I'm trying to say is that if we didn't go out and, like, say, offer Benintendi for Giancarlo Stanton, money aside, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Like, do you think us overrating Benintendi and maybe the organization overrating Benintendi would actually prevent us from actually wanting to go out and get someone who can actually hit the ball like Bryce Harper?
So, I don't know, Andrew, that's an interesting question. I would like to believe that ultimately the Red Sox will move on from Jackie Bradley and create an outfield spot for someone like Harper if they wanted to pursue him. So my answer is no. No, I don't think it's Benintendi that would get in their way of that. Now, look, I don't know what he's going to be as a player. He's a rookie last year and had a good year. Now, will he hold up over 162? Is he going to get better than he is right now? He should. See, I think Benintendi has the chance to be the kind of guy that is a 310 hitter with 25 home runs. And I don't know what perfect example I could give you or perfect comp I could give you for a guy like Benintendi, but typically a left-handed bat, one that can hit for average and some power, has got a lot of value. I mean, you're going to see right-handed pitching 70% of the time. So there's great value in a guy like that. I mean, I don't know. If he can hit 310, if he can get to that number, then he can be like Paul O'Neill. Right? He's not physically built like O'Neill is, but in terms of what he can give you production-wise, he could be a Paul O'Neill type of player. No, O'Neill's no Hall of Famer. He was a solid guy in that lineup who hit for a high average and hit in the middle part of the batting order, the heart of the order. And I think that in a perfect world, Benintendi could be that kind of player. Is he an MVP? Is he a Hall of Famer? No. My answer would be no. But I'm not ready to give up on him. I'm not ready to call him overrated. I just think it's too early in a guy like him. Anthony and Peabody on Brock Holt and the Red Sox. Go.
Hey, man. Thanks for the call.
Anthony, you got me on a speaker? What do you got me on? Okay, well, I can't hear you. So if you can't pick up the phone or get a better connection, this is pointless because people listening in their cars or wherever they're listening can't understand what you're saying. So there's no point in having you on. So sit tight. I'll come back to you here in a minute if you want to do that. And if the connection's any better, I'm happy to take your call. 617-779-0985. Murray. Jim Murray has got your headlines. We'll check in with John Harper of the New York Daily News. Get his assessment of the Yankees. I want to get back to Giancarlo Stanton. I also want to get to a comment from Alex Cora regarding a managerial mistake he made on Sunday, and he admitted it. We'll do that next.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
John Harper, the New York Daily News, rather, joins us here. So, Harp, what's the issue? What's going on there?
Well, it doesn't help that Stanton struck out 20 times already, that's for sure. Mostly, you know, they've had some bullpen issues that have been the surprising part. This pen is, you know, we saw last postseason, it's billed as one of the great bullpens in baseball, and I think it still probably will be, but they've had some problems. The Kansas, you know, at the end of last year had major control issues. Robertson gave up the big home run to Smoke. They've had some other here and there. So that's been part of it. The starting pitching's been okay. They just, you know, they haven't hit as expected other than the first four games. But it's not just Stanton, though. I mean, Judge hasn't hit. Some guys haven't hit. It's just that all the attention right now.
All right, so Harp, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold because the connection isn't great, and we'll see if that tightens up here a little bit. We'll go back to John Harper in a minute. Anthony is in Peabody. Anthony, go.
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking the call. Got a quick question for you on Brock Holt. You know, Brock Holt always looked like a Jeff Fry to me. You know, nothing impressive, but he fills the gap. What are we going to do with him when Pedroia comes back the second and we got no place for Nunez? Are we going to trade Brock Holt? Is he a good bait trade? I'll let you answer the question. Thanks.
Okay, so I think Jeff Fry was a better player than Brock Holt. I mean, Jeff Fry had injury problems, but when he was in there, he was a good player. I mean, he could play second base every day in the big leagues, no problem. This guy, I don't think he would hold up. Jimmy, I'm just going to ask you, if and when the connection gets better with Harper, if you guys can let me know and I'll go back to John Harper in the interim, I'll continue with your phone calls. Chad is in Seabrook, New Hampshire. Go ahead, Chad.
Hey, guys. I was just... you know, you talked about Benintendi not being a potential Hall of Famer, and I just was wondering if you could elaborate more on that. You know, considering the guy's 23, and I think he's already been a great standout player in Boston.
Chad, can I stop you for a second? Is it really that offensive that I said the guy's probably not a Hall of Famer?
Well, no, I just wanted more of an elaboration on it.
Okay, so I don't think he's going to hit for enough power to be an all-time player. That's all. And frankly, if he keeps running the bases like he runs, he doesn't deserve to get a Hall of Fame based on pure stupidity. So, like, I told you, I wouldn't trade Benintendi. I think he's a good player. I think that his ceiling is probably something like Paul O'Neill was, which is to say a guy who's going to hit you 25 homers and hit 310, assuming that Benintendi can get to that average. Okay, first of all, he's got to prove that he can hold up for a whole season because he faded at the end of last year. So the fact that if it has reached the point where I said a guy is not, that it is critical to say a guy's probably not a Hall of Famer, then what are we doing? Harp, you there?
Yeah, what happened, Tony? You couldn't hear me?
Okay, yeah, so you were breaking up there a little bit. You were saying that the issues with the bullpen have been the biggest surprise so far with the Yankees. How do you think How do you think Boone has handled it so far, Harp?
He's been exactly what I thought is from in terms of the media. He's been great with the media. He's been, you know, he's got some Joe Torre in him. He's really good with people. He handles that part of it really well. He's very much into the numbers, the analytics, to the point where the question, you know, the situation in Toronto was definitely questionable. Having Robertson walk Donaldson, who was having a tough time with his shoulder, having a tough weekend to pitch to Smoke, because Smoke was like 0-for-5 against Robertson with 4 strikeouts. As David Cohn on the broadcast, who's a sharp guy, made the point, those numbers should go out the window. You got to have context with those numbers, because Smoke has turned into a different hitter for one thing. For another thing, he already hit a home run. He was having a big day. So you got to put those numbers in context. That's one thing I want to see more of Boone. Is he just going to be a strictly, you know, whatever the front office gives him, he's going to go by that? Or is he going to actually watch the games and manage with his eyes at times, too?
Okay, so Harp, again, you're talking about a situation in the first series of the year where David Robertson was on the mound. Boone had him intentionally walk. Had David Robertson walk Donaldson because the matchup numbers with Donaldson were poor from Robertson's perspective. I want to say he was like 3-for-8 with a couple of homers or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he had him pitch to Smoke, who hit the grand slam. But ultimately, what you're questioning is Boone's ability to make a judgment on the fly in a real game with real people as opposed to just going by the numbers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think, look, the numbers are important. There's no doubt about it. But you have to put them in context. You know, there was a lot there to put into context in terms of what Donaldson was going through that day. Smoke's the hot hitter. Those numbers against Robertson and Smoke, the bad numbers even mean anything, because in the last year, Smoke has turned into a different hitter. He's had a breakthrough. And when you throw in the fact, another point Cohn made, who first guessed it at the time, which I give him credit for, because not a lot of Yankee announcers will do that, is that you're loading the bases, and you put a little more pressure on the pitcher once you load the bases.
Well, right.
All that stuff goes into it. Yeah, yeah. I want to see Boone do what A.J. Hinch did in the last World Series last year and say, heck, I'm not going to my closer because he's not going well. I'm sticking with Charlie Morton on the mound to close this game out.
Okay. And so, Harp, this is one that drives me crazy. If you're just going to go by the numbers all the time, why do you need a manager in the dugout during the game?
Yeah, I know. It's, that's the thing. Yes, I know, understand, that's part of the reason Boone got the job. And he's embraced it, and he says, he looks up stuff himself because he wants to be on top of all this. That's great, but, again, context means everything in terms of dealing with those numbers.
Okay, so again, we're speaking with John Harper of the New York Daily News about the Yankees. I want to get back to Stanton Harp. How's he going to handle New York?
There were a lot of questions about that coming in because I talked to the Miami guys down there who covered him. They said he could be difficult down there. He didn't show up at times, and he could be difficult to deal with after not even a bad game, but just in certain. Remember, he got really tired of the Judge questions last year. People naturally comparing him to Judge to Stanton because of the size and everything else, for no real reason other than he just got tired of them. But he's obviously been, he knew what he was getting into here, and he's had a lot of help. The Yankee people, PR people, are sharp people. They let him know you got to be accountable here. And he has been. He had 2 5-strikeout games in his first homestand and got booed the very first in the season, the home opener.
Were you surprised by that, Harp, that they booed him right out of the gate?
I think it's ridiculous. First game of the season, first homestand, after he hit 2 home runs in Toronto to start the season. But that just seems to be the mentality now. Hey, listen, you don't perform, we're going to boo you, whatever. But I thought he handled it well. He was there in his locker both days, and the first day especially, the Yankees won that game. He was kind of self-deprecating, made a joke about how, he was asked about Didi Gregorius being a cleanup guy, and he said, you're a cleanup guy, you got to clean up some garbage in front of you sometimes, referring to himself. The other day, after the second one, he wasn't quite, he didn't have that self-deprecating, but he was still, he handled it. He's got an edge to him. I saw that even in spring training. He's going to let you know what he thinks. He's not afraid to say what he thinks. So, it's going to be interesting to see if this goes on. I don't know how long he'll be good at it, but right now he's done everything he's supposed to do.
Okay, before we let you go, Harp, just quickly, what do you see with him at the plate? Because I don't remember him having a stance that closed, and I went back and looked, and at the beginning of last year he wasn't that closed. By the end he was. What do you see with him at the plate?
Yeah, he did that in the middle of June. I did a story on it, and I talked to him about it in spring training. He said it just keeps him from opening up too soon, leaking the shoulder and the hip, or the hip especially. And from that point on, he went on a tear home run-wise. He was on over like a 70 home run pace from that point on. But right now, he's still the shoulder is still pulling out. He looks like a classic guy in a slump who's in between, guessing at times. They're throwing a fastball by him. Sometimes he's looking for the slider, other times looking for the fastball, can't hit the slider. A lot of what you saw with Judge last year, I think he's been through these things before. When you look at the numbers, he's been through lengthy slumps. He'll come out of it. But he's never been through anything like this in terms of dealing with this kind of scrutiny, because in Miami, nobody cared. So you do have to see if he's mentally tough enough to handle this.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the question now. You know, the longer it gets, the harder it gets, the more critical people get, and then it becomes an issue. Harp, listen, thanks for the time.
You got it, Tony.
All right, John Harper, New York Daily News, just giving us a little insight there into the Yankees. We will continue with your phone calls, and we'll get to that startling admission. Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox, admitted tonight that he made a mistake over the weekend. We'll tell you exactly what it was when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Don't feel the need to defend him at every turn. He's going to make mistakes. And in fact, before tonight's game against the Yankees, he admitted one. He admitted one that we talked about on this program yesterday. And we certainly talked about it on Felger and Maz yesterday, too. We'll get to that in just a second. First, the Big Y matchup of the game is brought to you by Big Y World Class Market, something we're going to do on a daily basis, sort of highlight some of the key matchups. Andrew Benintendi has been getting a lot of attention here tonight from the callers for whatever reason. Luis Severino's pitching tonight for the Yankees. Severino's numbers against the Red Sox have been pretty good. He's held them to a .226 average. 43 strikeouts, 31 hits against Severino. But Benintendi's hit him hard. Okay, so again, this is a matchup to watch. Severino dominates right-handed batters. Between the running fastball and the sheer velocity of it, and then the slider, hard to hit for righties. He's brutal on right-handed batters. So your offense may have to come from your lefties tonight. Benintendi career against this guy, 6-for-14, a double, 2 homers, 7 RBIs, hit .429 with an OPS of almost 1,400. Okay, so that is your Big Y matchup of the game, Benintendi against Severino. Alex Cora was asked about his managing over the weekend. I'm not even sure if he was asked specifically about this thing or he volunteered this on his own. But late in that game on Sunday, after the Red Sox took the lead in the 8th inning, Cora kept J.D. Martinez in the game in left field. J.D. Martinez had made 2 misplays out there earlier in the game. And then beyond that, having watched him in right field in Miami and then Sunday in Boston, he's a butcher. He is a butcher in the outfield. Here's what Cora said before the game about that.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. We scored 6 runs, and we were so excited about it, and the manager missed that one.
Okay, so there you go. Plain and simple, he blew it. He said he blew it. Now, look, better that is happening in April in a game against the Rays than in September against the Yankees or Houston or the Angels, and, you know, they're not going to face them all that much during the year anyway. I think they're done with the Angels by the All-Star break, but you get the idea. The Indians, you'd rather have these mistakes happen now, particularly in a game the Red Sox win. But Cora was asked by John Miller of WBZ-TV, and Jimmy, you said Johnny's in this cut? Okay, so Johnny, again, for those of you who don't know, has cerebral palsy. So, you know, he speaks with a speech impediment, but he asked Cora, why would you tell us that? Like, why would you be so honest?
Can you tell me, Ms. Barron, and why you were so honest about you goofing up Sunday in the 19th?
Well, Johnny, because I did. It just, what I'm going to lie, why lie, you know? And it happens. Everybody saw it. I ask our guys to be genuine, transparent, and responsible. So if I'm asking them to be that way, well, I better be that way. Because if I say something else, they know I'm not telling the truth. So, yeah.
So how do you like that for an answer?
That's refreshing.
If I'm going to ask our guys to be genuine, transparent, and responsible, and ultimately he means accountable, I think. Right, let's remember, it is his second language. Well, then I'm going to be the same way. He whiffed. He admitted J.D. Martinez should not have been in the game. Now, look, to me, there's more here in the early part of the year. Like, Bobby Pointer, why'd you have him up on opening day? And you're not going to bring him into the game? And then in the second game of the year, you'll bring him in to face a tying run? And then you send him out there to face another batter, a right-hander who hits it into the seats against him? Like, so I think, though, that he learned from it. Now, look, he has let Pointer, in this case, he's let Pointer face right-handed batters. So we'll get a sense on how he views Pointer as the year goes along. But this is what I'm saying about a first-year manager. He's going to have to learn on the fly. Okay? He's going to have to learn on the fly, and he's going to make some mistakes along the way. The same's true of Boone, by the way, in New York. We'll get to him in just a second, if we have time. Matt's in Needham. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, yeah, Tony, nice to talk to you. First-time caller. I was actually just wondering about what you think about analytics and big markets in the sense of, oh, we got J.D. Martinez, they got Giancarlo Stanton, and how the managers match up, because it's been talked about in the past that Francona is a puppet and these managers are puppets. And I think the game's coming down to nothing but analytics and what they can sell their fan base.
So, and Matt, yeah.
Down to.
So, Matt, look, I don't like the over-reliance on analytics. Okay, I don't mind the analytics. I mean, there's some stuff that's valuable there. I mean, if you've got data that shows you that a guy, when he hits the ball on the ground, 95% of the time the ball's on a certain side of the infield, and if shifts are allowed, well, then overload the infield. No two ways about it. There's some stuff that makes perfect sense. Now, I want to get rid of shifts in baseball. That's a separate discussion. But if the data shows you it and you can do it, then do it. No problem. Where I sort of get off board, and John Harper, the Daily News, talked about this, is that what happens when you're making a judgment in real time? What if the matchup numbers of Justin Smoke against David Robertson are mostly from at-bats that were 8 years ago? What good are those? So I do feel like, look, if you're going to have a guy in the dugout that's just going to go by the numbers all the time, well, then what do you need someone there making decisions for at all? Just punch the data into a computer. Whatever the computer spits out is what you do. You don't need a manager. And it feels to me now like the Brian Cashmans of the world, and maybe even the Red Sox, want the manager to sort of make the personalities comfortable and then just go by the data. In which case, I'd say managing is easier than it's ever been before. Because there are a lot of guys that can run a clubhouse. What decision are you going to make in the middle of the game when there's something at stake and on the line? And so we'll find out about Cora. We will find out about Boone. Boone hasn't covered himself in glory here in the early part of the year either. And maybe this is a good series to see them go head-to-head and find out whether these games really are different. Because I think there's a chance you're going to get some epic screw-ups in the first half of the year between these two teams. The Yankees have been garbage lately. They've played like garbage, and I'm not sure Boone's covered himself in glory either.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.